This morning we are going to address the topic of praise. We've been kind of singing praise for a little bit of time here. But there's more than one way to praise God, and we're going to address that this morning, kind of spend some time. And doing that out of the book of praise, the Psalms in the Scripture are a compilation of different songs. And most of them put to music, songs of praise, songs of thanksgiving, songs of surrender, songs of pleas, crying out to God for help. And we're going to concentrate near the end of the Psalms, Psalm 145 through 150, which are all psalms of praise, and kind of get a feel for what God desires for us out of the Psalms, especially praise in our experience. Did you know that there are seven known authors of the Psalms, and there are about 48 anonymous authors of the Psalms? They're written over a period of about 900 years from the time of Moses to just about the 5th century B.C. before Christ came. All of those songs put together, and it's an amazing compilation of songs that can direct the believer to understand the expressions of the human soul towards God. I looked up in my Holman Bible Dictionary the definition that they had for praise. And here's what I found. One of humanity's many responses to God's revelation of Himself. One of humanity's many responses to God's revelation of Himself. The article went on, and I'm not going to read the whole article, just a little snippet here. The Bible recognizes that men and women may also be object of praise, either from other people or from God Himself. Angels and the natural world are also noted as praising God in Scripture. Human praise of the Lord is a major theme in Scripture. Praise comes from the Latin word meaning value or price. Therefore, to give praise to God is to recognize His value, recognize His worth. And that's really what we want to do here. Acknowledge Him, to point all of our worship to Him and direct our attention in that way. There are a lot of ways we can express praise. When the plate was passed, you can express praise through sacrifice, through giving, through offerings. You can praise the Lord through physical movement, obedience to the promptings and the commands of the Lord, the obedience to Scripture. That's how we praise God in our walking the way God has called us to walk. Think also about silence and meditation, times when we get alone with the Lord. We can praise Him in those moments, bowing down, prostrating ourselves. Praise also can be dancing, can be moving around, can be excited, exhilaration about knowing Him, playing instruments, all to His glory, praising Him. It's appropriate for us to direct our attention to the One who has given us salvation and reason to worship. And in Scripture, we find the attributes, the character, the person of God revealed through those Psalms especially, and that can help direct our attention in that way. And that's what we do here in the mornings when we sing, as we gather for worship. Praise is really a natural thing. I'm a grandpa now, and praise your grandchildren. When you talk about your grandchildren and you just elevate them, you're praising them. When you do that with your own children, if you have children that are like that, you praise them. If you praise a teacher, you praise someone who can sing. When you compliment, you're praising. It's a natural thing for us to praise. And what gets me is we come into this place of worship and we sing songs exhilarated to the Lord. We play our instruments. We smile. We lift up our hands. And as soon as these doors shut behind us, we leave praise behind. Praise of God. Now, we might praise other things, but for the most part, kind of leave the praise of the Lord in the building. I think the Lord wants us to take our praise outside these walls. And we're going to look at some of these psalms, and they will kind of reveal that very fact that God's desire is for us to be unashamed in our praise before the world so that the world may know our God. They can't know Him through a people who are ashamed or hiding or cloaking over the wonderful works of God. They want to see a world that they want to see a people who have been transformed. They need to see that. And so, I hope this morning, as we examine these praise psalms, that we'll kind of examine our own practice of praise and maybe find ourselves encouraged, maybe find some ammunition to be able to praise Him appropriately and to find ourselves excited, maybe renewed in the way of praise. Now, you might say, I'm going to read chapter 145 through 150. I am eventually, but we're going to stand as I read Psalm 150, the very last psalm in this section. The last six chapters kind of wraps up all of these psalms of praise. So Psalm 150, praise the Lord. There's an exclamation point there for a reason. We're to be excited. The psalmist was excited when he wrote this. He put the exclamation mark there by the prompting of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. We might could say hallelujah. Praise God in His sanctuary here in this house, this place of worship. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him in the world, wherever we are, not just in this building. Praise Him for His mighty deeds, the wonderful things that God has done. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness, just because of who He is. Praise Him because He's God. Praise Him with a trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we acknowledge You this morning. You're our God. We've sang praises to You. We have prayed to You. We have given to You. We have shaken hands with one another in Your name. Lord God, feed us this morning. I pray You open our spiritual eyes and hearts that we might get the feel of these psalmists. Lord God, that would become the resounding explosion from our hearts as well, that we would not be ashamed to praise You wherever we find ourselves. Invigorate us this morning by Your Spirit, that You might be magnified, because You're worthy to be magnified. In the name of our Savior Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated at this time. As we look over these psalms in just a moment, we're going to notice there is a lot for which to praise our God. Things He's done, who He is, His generosity, His goodness. We'll look at all of those things. But I want to make clear, true, genuine, appropriate praise comes from the heart of one who has been redeemed, who has been transformed, regenerated in heart because they've entered into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection, making the way for us to come into relationship with Him. Listen, a heart that does not know God cannot praise Him. Psalm 115:17 says, "The dead do not praise the Lord." Now, physically dead, obvious, they don't praise the Lord, but certainly spiritually dead cannot praise the Lord. They have no fountain from which to draw any kind of appreciation. Now, the Scripture says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is coming a day when all will acknowledge His sovereignty. Believe it or not, He's going to judge everyone one day according to our works. That is how it goes. Hopefully your works are found in Christ, that what He did at the cross or what you're presenting before the Lord, that will be your salvation. If you come presenting your own works, you're in trouble. But you will still acknowledge He is God. Because of that, you can't praise Him. You've not experienced freedom from yourself and your sin to be freed up to be able to acknowledge and see clearly God's provision for you. But those who have been redeemed, you have full green light to move forward in praise to God the Father. There should be nothing that holds you and I back. In fact, Charles Spurgeon, great prince of preachers, said that you and I as believers are obligated to praise our God. In the old devotional, Morning and Evening, by Charles Spurgeon, on September the 30th, in the morning devotional, I found this. And he starts off with a Psalm 66, verse 2. Sing forth the honor of his name. That's talking about praise. Make his praise glorious. As best as we can, we ought to praise, lift up our voices and our hearts to God. And then he goes on to say, whether we will praise God or not is not an option for us, speaking to believers. It's not an option. Praise is God's due. And every Christian, as the recipient of his grace, is bound to praise God from day to day. It's true, we have no commandment that prescribes certain hours of song and thanksgiving, but the law written on the heart teaches us that it's right to praise God. The unwritten mandate comes to us with as much force as if it had been recorded on slabs of stone from a mountain of fire and thunder. Yet, it's the Christian's duty to praise God. Not only a pleasurable exercise, but it is the absolute obligation of his life. He goes on to say, his praise should continually be in your mouth. If you do not praise God, then you're not bringing forth the fruit which he, as the divine husbandman, has a right to expect at your hands. That kind of cuts to the chase. Arise and sing his praise. With every morning's dawn, lift up your notes of thanksgiving and let every setting sun be followed with your songs. Cover the earth with your praises. He goes on, but that's sufficient. From Charles Spurgeon. The obligation, the duty of the believer is to praise God. It is, in fact, I'll add, it is our privilege to be able to praise him. To have the opportunity to stand before holy God who has bent down to earth while we were still sinners and sent Christ to die on the cross for our sin, that we would have the opportunity to be able to turn back to him praises and adoration because he's worthy. No one else would do that for us. God Almighty, holy, righteous, pure, perfect, has reached down into stinky, sinful humanity and he has brought us to himself in an incredible, miraculous experience. We should be overflowing with desire to sing praise to our God and to live out praise in our lives. He has offered everything for us so that we might have the opportunity to return this praise back to him. The Lord desires for us who have been regenerated to not just offer him lip service and ritual activity, but to express the very heart that he has transformed back to him. I'd like to look at these Psalms for just a moment. We're going to scan over them. Those of you that know I'm an expositional preacher, the tendency is for me to go through every one of these and break them down. I just want to scan over the top of these as we look at the topics of praise that are found in these last Psalms. Psalm 145 starts off, I will extol thee. That is an expression of praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name. Bless means to bring praise upon, to honor and to revere. I will do this forever and ever. Believer, let me tell you a little something. Eternity is going to be for us praising him, serving him, and doing it with a praising heart. We need to be practicing now. And not just in the church building, but when we find ourselves out and about. I love the fact that God has given me a love and a desire for sports, and I use those venues for opportunities to be able to express my faith. And there'll be times on the golf course, especially in the summertime around here, where it's so hot and humid, and God will bring a cloud to come between me and the sunlight. And just automatically out of my heart, praise the Lord. Thank you for the shade. Now, I'm not talking to the guys with me. There might be four guys with me, but I'm talking to the Lord. And I'm sorry if that offends you that I'm speaking to my God, but that's an expression of my heart. And most of the time when I've done that, I've gotten compliments about it and starts an opportunity to speak about salvation. It's a wonderful tool. Praise is given to us so that we might have it as a tool to be able to help share the glory of God with others. This psalmist says, forever and ever I will bless your name. I will praise you. Eternity is going to be filled with it. Practice now. Verse 3, great's the Lord. He's highly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. It is incomprehensible. And yet we're called to give attention to that, to praise him just for his greatness, for who he is. Holy God, Redeemer, has worked out all the minute details. He hadn't called us to understand every one of them. He just calls us to enter in and receive the gift. What a blessing. We should just rest in that. And he calls us. His greatness is unsearchable, and one generation should praise these works to another and declare your mighty acts. Oh, how our homes, our children, our grandchildren need to hear us testifying and praising God when we've experienced his blessing and bounty and generosity and goodness. Oh, forgive us, Father God, when we fail to express your abundance bestowed upon us, and we have opportunity for our younger generations. We have been given the baton of faithfulness to pass on to all the generations, and praise is one of those tools by which we do that. The psalmist goes on to say, down in verse 7, "You're great. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness." Listen, if you can't praise God for anything, praise him that he's good and that he allows you to know goodness in this life. There is a common grace that God gives, not just to the redeemed, but even to the lost who have no right to anything good, and yet they are able to breathe air, and they're able to eat food, and they're able to live in homes, and some of them are living in prosperity. God has experienced, has exercised and extended goodness to those in this world. Now, there may be some that are not getting all that goodness, and the church has been called to help in those moments. But God is good. And when those that don't have that goodness evident in their life, and we believers who have that goodness, we should be reaching them. God's wanting to use us as a tool to get that goodness to them. And yet we ought to praise him that he's been faithful in that goodness extended to us and to others, even through us if necessary. All of your works give praise to you. Your godly ones shall bless you. In verse 10, we're the godly ones. We should be blessing him, praising him. And we shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. We speak about a heavenly home. We speak about all the riches and how God has gifted me and this and that. But God has a kingdom that he has ushered and brought into our presence through Christ Jesus. And he has allowed us to enter into that kingdom through Christ. We ought to be praising him for that. Outside of that, we have nothing. We have zero. But he's ushered in his kingdom and he's given accessibility to that kingdom through Christ Jesus. We ought to praise him for that. Verse 14, the Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. This is God's generosity. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. God is generous to a fault. Verse 18, we find his grace. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear or revere him. He'll also hear their cry, save them. The Lord keeps all who love him. The Lord extends his grace. We ought to praise him for his grace, his generosity, his goodness, his provision to us, his greatness. Psalm 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, the depth from the depths of my soul. I'll praise the Lord while I live. I'll praise, sing praises to my God while I have my being. Listen, Brother Greg pointed out a moment ago, you may not have tomorrow. Praise him now. Praise him while you have your faculties. I know many who have gone to those places where they cannot hear anymore. They can't hear the sweet songs of praise. They can't sing anymore. They can't see anymore. They don't have the ability to get up and to go serve with vigor anymore. Praise the Lord while you can. Praise him while you have your being. God has given you your life as a gift, not only for you to enjoy, but for you to bring glory to him. Use your life to bring praise to him while you have your being. Verse 5, how blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. And listen, I don't know about you, but there have been many times I've received help from God. And there have been many times that I've leaned hard on the hope that he provides for me. And that's the next thing, whose hope is in the Lord is God. Blessed are those. This God who made heaven and the earth and sea and everything that's in them. He keeps our faith and truth forever, executes justice for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry and sets free prisoners. He delivers, he creates, he sustains, he provides. He's a God who's worthy of us to give praise to. No one else can do what this God does for us. We should praise Him for it. Verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind and raises up those who are humble and bowed down. He loves the righteous. He protects the strangers, the downcast. He supports the fatherless and the widows, the helpless. The Lord God is good. And His loving kindness endures forever, another psalm says. You can't outdo Him. He's the great provider. He's the great keeper. He's worthy of our praise. Chapter 147, praise the Lord. It's good to sing praises to our God. I don't know about you, but the exhilaration of the Spirit moving through me when the opportunity to be able to sing praises happens is beyond description. God has put a Spirit in us to guide us and teach us and lead us in all ways and to give us words that we need to say, but God also is there to give us pleasure as we sing praises to Him. He desires for us to know the exhilaration of being willing and obedient to praising Him. He wants us to know that. It's good to sing praise, and it's pleasant, and praise is becoming. I think the Lord looks and He sees His children, and the thing He wants to see out of us is a willingness to praise Him wherever we are, whoever the company around us might be, whatever the circumstances of life, that we are praising Him because He's faithful. I think of Job. Yet though He slay me, yet I will praise Him. Job experienced the worst that any man could ever experience, and yet he found place in his heart to praise the Lord because he would not yield to his wife's suggestion that he curse God and die. Job would rather live with affliction and not let his tongue betray him. He would praise his God regardless. Verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre. Thanksgiving can be a springboard for why we praise our Lord, because He has been so good in giving so much to us that we are thankful and grateful. Verse 11, the Lord favors those who fear or revere Him, and He waits those who wait for His loving kindness. So praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. These are words spoken to the people of God, the Jew, but they still are relevant to you and I today. We can praise Him for His provision. He has given us not just a home here in this world, but He has a home for us in heaven. And the following verses talk about how the Lord blessed Jerusalem. And He blesses us in much the same way. Strengthen the bars of your gates, bless your sons within you, makes peace in your border, satisfies you with wheat, sends forth His command to the earth. His word runs swiftly, gives snow like wool, and scatters frost like ashes, casts forth ice as fragments. He sends them as He sends forth His word and melts all of those things that are too cold for us to endure, causes His wind to blow, declares His words to Jacob, His statutes, His ordinances, His truth to mankind. To those who are willing to listen, Lord God is worth praise. He closes out that chapter 147, praise the Lord. Exclamation point again. Psalm 148, praise the Lord from the heavens. Talks about those in the heights, the angels, the stars, the moons, all of the entities of the universe. Those are to call praise. And then verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth. And He talks about sea monsters and things that creep and crawl on the earth, the birds and mankind, kings, princes, slaves, young men, virgins, old and young, rich or poor, all are to praise the Lord. In the heavens, in the universe, and in the earth, all should praise Him. Chapter 149, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the congregation of the godly ones. A new song in the study of Revelation, the reference of new song is a song of the redeemed. When a redeemed soul is in heaven and begins to sing praises to the Lord, it's a song, a new song, because it's unique to that individual who's experienced the salvation of the Lord, and they sing that song to the Lord from their heart. It's a new song, and all of God's children are called to sing that new song, praise of God for redemption that we've experienced before Him, to sing that new song. and His praise in a congregation. You wonder why we gather together, why we assemble. Because we're called to do that together, to corporately praise our God, to find energy and strength and encouragement, even from one another. When we come into this place and life's been hard and beat us down, and we come in this place and we can be reinvigorated watching how God's moving in the lives of those around us, or use us to help invigorate someone else. It is our opportunity to come together and light the fire in one another so we don't just leave praise in these doors, but that we'll go outside and share it with all who need it. Let Israel be glad in his maker, rejoice in their king. We have a God who's a creator, a maker, and he's the king and the ruler of hearts. We're to praise him for that. Let the godly ones exult in glory, verse 5. Sing for joy on their beds. And I imagine that speaking about those who may be on their way out of this land into the Holy Land to carry that praise all the way to their last breath. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. The two-edged sword is not a weapon for wielding war. Two-edged sword is symbolic of the Word of God. Let the Word of God be in your hands. And that's not just carry it around. That is to let the Word of God dictate how you operate your hands. Put your hands to things that are right and good. Let the Word of God, the two-edged sword, be in our hands. Let it be what drives us. That will praise the Lord. When we serve Him and walk in obedience to Him, that's praising God like nothing else. It honors His name, gives us opportunity and privilege to praise Him. We may not even have to open our mouths and lift up one sound, but by service to Him, we're praising our God through obedience to the Word that He's given to us, so precious before us. In that last Psalm, 150, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in this place when we come together with the body of Christ, the congregation of the godly ones. Let us praise Him with all that's within us. And then when we leave here, let us praise Him in His mighty expanse. Let us praise Him wherever we find ourselves outside these walls. Don't let the door shutting behind you keep you from expressing your appreciation, your love, your admiration for your God. Praise is to be carried beyond this setting. We do it well in here. Ever since I've been here, 4.5 years now, this church has praised the Lord excellently. Let us do it beyond these walls. Let the world hear it. Let the lost out there who are struggling and frustrated and even cursing God, let them hear the joy that's inside our hearts, that they might be moved by that and drawn to Him, that they see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. Let us praise Him outside these walls. Let's praise Him for His mighty deeds, all the things that He's done. Look, if you were to sit down and write a list of all the things that God has done for you in the way of good, your list would overflow. Write down the things that He's not done for you. They can't measure up to the things that He's done. His mighty deeds are worth praising Him for. And not only that, but praise Him according to His excellent greatness, just because of who He is, because He's God. He has chosen to love us and to reach down and to minister to us and to pull us up and to make us worthy through Christ. Let's praise Him for who He is. Praise Him with trumpet sound, harp and lyre, timbrel and dancing, stringed instruments and pipes, cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. We make a pretty good noise in here. And praise Him in the silence. Praise Him when He says, "Be still and know me." Praise me in meditation. Praise me as you're prostrate on your face. He's calling His people who redeemed to praise Him. There's purpose in praise. He finishes, says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." That leaves none of us out. Praise the Lord. That's how He finishes this psalm, the whole book of Psalms. Praise the Lord. Reflecting on this praise subject this week. And I remembered the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. He began that wonderful love chapter. We love that chapter because we hear it at weddings and we think, "Oh, how sweet. Yeah, love is kind." When he starts that chapter out, He says, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, do not have love, I'm just like a noisy gong. I'm like a clanging cymbal making noise. Or if I have the gift of prophecy, I know all mysteries and all knowledge. If I have faith to move mountains, the gift of prophecy, I know all mysteries and knowledge, have faith to move mountains. If I give my possessions to the poor, if I deliver my body over to be burned, and I do all those things, but I don't love, it's useless. We can praise the Lord in this place, and we can praise the Lord outside this place. But what people first and foremost need to see through our praise is that we do it with a motive of love. You don't praise your God in front of the lost so that you're arrogantly rubbing in their face you have something they don't. Praise your God in that setting with the hope and the intent and the motive that they might get caught up in His love for them. Listen, when you got saved, God poured out His love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. And He has enabled you to love in the way that God loves. He's enabled us to be able to love sacrificially, completely giving to others rather than just thinking about myself all the time. And that's what the rest of that chapter talks about. But when we think about how we serve Him, how we speak of Him, how we sing of Him, even in this place, if it's not done with love, it's just noise. Our activity is just activity and busyness if it's not done with the intent and the motive that God's love would get out of us and penetrate into the lives of others who don't know Him. We're called to be vessels, representatives of Christ Jesus. We have to do it the way He did it. Jesus Christ loved in the most excellent of ways. Right before He went to the cross, His greatest expression of love was to get down on His knees and wash the feet of His disciples, to clean the grime off of their dirty feet. Before He went and He laid His life out for them, some of us would say washing their feet, that was enough. Jesus went all the way. He deserves our praise. He deserves for us to love the way He loved, because He's worthy. He loved us and demonstrated that love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There are many in this place this morning, and you have experienced that incredible love of the Savior. And perhaps you can look over the course of your life, even over this past year, as many of us are prone to do at this time, and you can say, wow, I really didn't do things real great. But you have today, and you have tomorrow, Lord willing. And each day presents its own opportunities to exercise the love that's been poured out in your hearts through praise, and service, and love to those around us that need Him. And in the process, you get a blessing because you've been obedient and walking with Him. It's a win-win, folks. Believers, I pray you've been challenged just by looking at these praises in your own life, praising Him, not leaving it in this sanctuary, but take it out in His expanse. And then for that soul or more that might be sitting in this place, and you've never entered into relationship with God, perhaps this is all new to you, let me tell you, there's nothing like allowing holy God to come reside inside of you. I still remember the moment that I cried out to my God and asked Him to come into my life, asked Him to forgive my sin, and He lifted the burden of my sin off of me, and I felt it physically. I was relieved. I couldn't wipe the smile off my face, and I was still crying. He filled me with incredible joy and desire to just turn everything back to Him. I'd love to see that restored in my life. Maybe you'd like to see it restored in your life. Maybe you'd like to have it in your life. Perhaps this morning could be the morning that you would finally acknowledge, I'm a sinner. And I have nothing inside of me to call out praise to God for, but I hear that there's this Jesus that He sent who loved me so much He died for me. And He didn't stay dead after killing sin's effect upon me. He then rose from the dead, so He'd also kill death's effect on me.
Because of that, I want to trust Him today. And maybe this morning you would just trust the Lord. There's nothing fancy about it. Scripture says that you just call upon the Lord. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Be as simple as saying, Lord, I believe You are my Lord now. You're my King. I come to You. Take me and believe that He's alive to do it. You experience that, then you'll be able to praise the Lord. We have some options before us this morning. We're going to take time to respond. I'm going to ask the praise band to come and to share another song, opportunity for us to respond. I'll be here at the front. Might seem like a scary thing to walk up this aisle and come up here and see this preacher and face all of these people. But if the Lord's moving your heart, you will not regret it. You will not regret meeting Him. You will not regret knowing Him. Maybe you just need a prayer of protection. Maybe you just need a prayer for the Lord to open your eyes. I will be here to pray. The altar's open. You can kneel at the altar and pray by yourself. Well, let's take time to respond to the Lord this morning. Father, as we enter into this portion of our worship, we commit this time to You and pray that You would be the King. Lord God, help us to be moved off the throne that You might reside and rule. Lord God, have Your way with us this morning, that You might be magnified as we've been singing about. In the name of our Savior Jesus, we ask it. Amen.